I have already felt blessed of the Lord this morning. Not only in meditating upon His Word, prayer, but in the song service. The thought that we will empty all of our praise seems to indicate that we don't empty all of it now.
Amen.
For whatever reason. And to be honest, there is no reason for us not to empty all of our praise now. But we don't do. My thoughts, prayers, meditations have been dominated by faith over the past month or so. And I made a shocking discovery. Not that it wasn't always there, I just found it for me. And I would like to begin to, and I don't know how long this vein is going to last, but I'd like to start mining in it today. And what I found was at least 30 different ways that the Bible describes faith. 30. In Acts, it's called, when Peter was recalling the things that had happened to him at Cornelius' house, and even before that, he said that a door of faith was opened to the Gentiles. It's called the mystery of faith. It's called the law of faith. It's called the righteousness of faith. It's called the mystery. Did I say that? The mystery of the faith. Yeah, it's called, there is a service, there's work of faith, there's service of faith. There's 30 different words that are used to describe different aspects of the same thing. The same thing. This morning, I'd like to speak to you about the righteousness of faith. Turn to the fourth chapter of Romans. I'm going to read it, then we'll talk about it. We're going to get into the law of faith later, but it talks about that in chapter 3. Chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? That means the circumcision means the children of Israel or the Jews, and the uncircumcision is everybody else, all the Gentiles. He asks the question, cometh this blessedness, does this blessedness come then only on the Jews or on the Gentiles also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. That means he didn't reckon it to him when he was already circumcised or an Israelite, which they trusted in, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. Sometimes when I read scriptures, it gets so tangled up in my mind when I look at them as a whole. Almost like those of you who fish know how tangled up line can be. But I'm patient. And I like to unravel things one at a time. I spent 8 hours untangling a fishing knot in my fishing reel one time. Somebody, my brother, would have just cut it and started all over, but not me. I'm stubborn that way. Now, I want us to think about Abraham and his faith, because if he's the father of all those that exercise faith, and he's a great example of us exercising faith, I think it would behoove us to know a little bit more about Abraham and his faith. First, I want to hone in on this one thing in verse 11. Well, we'll get to that later. First, I want us to realize that there is righteous faith and there is unrighteous faith. In verse 11, It calls it the righteousness of the faith. Y'all see that? All faith is not righteous faith. Abraham had righteousness of faith. That means, like we spoke about last Sunday or a few Sundays ago, the object of Abraham's faith was God, and that's righteous faith. Anything other than God, more specifically Jesus Christ, is unrighteous faith. If you have faith in your works, that's unrighteous faith. If you have faith in your own faith, that's unrighteous faith. If you have faith in your works or any law to keep, that's unrighteous faith. Why is it unrighteous faith to keep the law? Because you're trusting in what you do to be righteous. That's why it's unrighteous faith. It's not right faith. Now, there's a lot of things in this down through... we might not even get down to where I read. But in the beginning, there's a lot of things we need to deal with according to what Paul's dealing with Abraham. A lot of points to be made. Number one, Paul has Abraham's flesh under consideration. What did Abraham find according to his flesh? It wasn't we find in verse 1 and verse 2 that this faith that Abraham had was a work. You understand, he's talking about the exercising of his faith, not the grace of him of his faith. That part of it is a work. Our exercising faith, not just merely having it, but exercising it, is a work. And we are justified by that work, not before God though. And Paul's starts this out asking the question, what did Abraham, as pertaining, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, what did he find? Says, this is what he found. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. I am happy when I exercise faith. I glorify God for His giving me the faith. I glorify God in exercising the faith. But I can't trust in my exercising of the faith to justify me before His holy court. Do y'all understand that? I know this is getting pretty deep. I don't want it to be so... not understandable, or preach it so deep that you don't understand, or that the way I'm presenting it is not understandable. Paul's saying, I'm not trusting in my faith. I'm trusting in the one that gave it to me. I'm not trusting in the exercising of my faith. I'm trusting in the one who gave me that faith and the one that justified me. He's going to talk about that later. But I want us to realize that exercising faith is a work. And what Abraham found as pertaining to his flesh was that he could not justify himself before God. That's the first thing that we find. I want us to realize that faith is to seeing, I'm sorry, faith is to belief what the eye is to seeing. Let that sink in. Because faith and belief are not the same thing. They're very closely related, and you can't get one unless you have the other. You can't see without eyes. But just because you have eyes doesn't mean that you see. Do you understand? You must, in order to believe, you must possess faith first. But just because you have faith doesn't mean you're always going to exercise it. Do you always exercise the faith that you have? Come on now, do you? Shake your head no, because you don't. But what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with Abraham exercising his faith. Now, Paul says, to him that, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It did not render him righteous or make him righteous before a holy and just God. But when Abraham exercised his faith, it was laid on his account. His exercising of faith was a declaration that he was righteous. It proved that he was righteous. Do you see the difference? His exercise in that faith didn't make him righteous before a holy God. But it declared him to be such as he ought to be. And when we who are possessors of faith exercise that faith, it is laid to our account that we're righteous just like it was Abraham. It's imputed to us. It's reckoned to us. It's counted to us. It doesn't make us righteous, but it lays on our account that we are. This is called justification by faith. As opposed to, or in accordance with, or it's in a different realm, justification by faith is according to the flesh. Justification by blood, justification by grace, is the rendering us to be righteous, and that comes from the top down. From God down to us. Justified by His blood, that happened on Jesus' account. Justification by His grace, that happened on Jesus' account. Justification by faith is laid to our account. And it goes from the bottom back up. You understand? Now we must... What he's talking about here is justification by faith. We'll find that out in chapter 5, which we won't get to today. It's a whole other subject. But this, well, it's a different part. Now, when Abraham is justified by faith, what that did was declare that he was righteous, and God laid it to his account. And he received the blessing. God promised that he was going to be the father of many nations. And let's keep going. What the kind of faith, when anyone has faith in God, more specifically Jesus Christ, it's right faith. It's pointed in the right direction and has the right object and to the right end. It's righteous. That's what righteous means. It's right. Now, not right hand, that means it's righteous. Well, right hand too. But when anyone has this, they have the same righteous faith that Abraham did. Now, because Abraham believed in God and His promises, he received the sign of circumcision. Do y'all know that the circumcision did not make him faithful? The circumcision wasn't what gave him faith. He had faith before that. Right? Let's think about this, because this is very important and it may answer some questions that you've always had. I hope it does. What he had was righteous faith, and it was imputed to him. And it, that imputation, remember, I think sometimes, how many of y'all have ever heard preachers say imputed righteousness? Raise your hand if you've heard that term before. Imputed righteousness. I get the sense out of so many years of hearing that term and the way that it's preached that you can't help it but have righteousness imputed on you. And in the sense of having the righteousness of Christ laid upon us by being justified by grace and God being omnipotent and God being sovereign and His saving His elect people, we're born of the grace of God, and having that just come upon us, I agree with. I agree with that term, but I think in this portion of scriptures, it's something that will be imputed to us when we exercise it. Not in terms of you get it just because you're a child. I think it has a lot to do with exercising of it, not just the grace of having it. Now, because he says, unto us whom it shall be imputed, where is that? We'll find it later. He says, 20 and 22. Oh, yep. Here we go. In verse 22, in verse 21, and being fully persuaded, talking about Abraham, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. It wasn't written just for Abraham's sake that it was imputed to him, but for us also. It was written for us also, listen to this, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now this is an imputation that comes after you believe, or because you believe. If you believe on him, that righteousness will be laid to your account as well as pertaining to the flesh. Remember, you must have faith first in order to believe. The fact that you have faith, the grace of faith, not the exercising of it, but the having of it, in possession of faith, means that you're already a child of God, and in one sense that righteousness of Christ has been imputed on you because of the work of Christ. But this imputation happens when we exercise the faith that we already possess and believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Does that make sense? The Bible says it a little differently, or Paul says it a little differently, a little farther on. In Ephesians, he talks about the seal of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, this is how this goes. This is having something else imputed to you. Or the same thing, he just calls it something different. Wow, it's a long sentence. We're going to start in 11. Ephesians 1 and 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now you didn't obtain an inheritance because you did something. You obtained an inheritance because of who you were and who your daddy was. That's how you obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Here, listen to this. Here we go. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. What did you receive after you believed? What did you receive after you believed? Not in order to believe. Well, yeah, you received it from God in order to believe, but after you believe, what did you get? You got the seal of the Holy Spirit of promise. John puts it a different way in John chapter 1. He says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to them that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born, not by blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He says that in this, the people that received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That doesn't mean that He gave them power to be His offspring. That means He gave them power to authenticate themselves and justify themselves as being His sons. Do you understand that? Just like Abraham exhibiting and demonstrating his righteousness acts by his faith didn't make him righteous. It authenticated him as having righteousness by being born of God. That's what that means. Now, I don't know if y'all are excited about this as I am, but this is good stuff. Now, he says, Paul deals with this because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It cannot be said to come after you believe. Faith must precede belief. It would be foolish to think that you had to exercise something that you didn't have in order to get what you wanted. That don't make sense, does it? To make it simple, the Spirit is the root, and faith is the fruit, not the other way around. You think about a tree. You think about the nourishment, and the root happens first. You know, the root happens first before anything ever springs up out of the ground. Do you know it? Naturally, when you plant tomatoes or anything you plant, the root sprouts first from the seed before anything is seen on top of the ground. And so Abraham had that seed of faith that had already taken root in him, and he bore the fruit of it in believing God. In the midst of unnatural circumstances. The Bible says, against hope, believed in hope. You know why he said that? Because he had no natural reason. Because hope is an earnest expectation. And so, against all expectation, naturally, he believed in expectation. He expected it because God said it. And that's faith. Boy, this is good stuff. Now, there's a lot of things, too, in this chapter 4. Man, so much. It says, blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know why that man's blessed? You know why God won't impute sin on him or lay sin to his charge? It's because he's His. But just like the works, let me ask you a question. Have you ever demonstrated faith, and that faith was reckoned to you for righteousness? Have you ever done any righteous acts? Have you ever done any righteousness? I'm not talking about what you are. There's none righteous, no, not one. I'm not talking about what you are. I'm talking about you exercising your faith. Have you ever exercised your faith? Then you've done a righteous act. And that righteousness was imputed unto you, wasn't it? It was laid to your account that you believed in God. And by the same token, have you ever done any unrighteous acts? Raise your hand because I know you have. If you've done unrighteous acts, has sin ever been imputed to you? Have you ever been counted or it laid to your account that what you did was not right? If you've ever been chastised of God, you've had that. He said, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. And I'm telling you, that is a wonderful blessing. Because we all deserve to have all of our sins imputed on us, don't we? We all deserve to have those the sins that separated us from God to be imputed on us. But that's where grace and mercy comes in. Mercy first, then grace. Because mercy says, you're guilty. I'm not going to have the punishment. I'm not going to exact the punishment. And grace says, I'm going to go beyond not punishing you. And I'm going to be gracious to you and give you something you don't deserve. Jesus Christ. My presence in your life. Abraham, did not follow a law in order to receive this imputation of righteousness. He demonstrated his faith. He did not seek to be made righteous by his works. He did not seek to be made righteous by law. But his actions declared that he was. And he says, and this is how wonderful this is. You know, all those Jews, you know, Abraham was the father of the Hebrew nation. You remember the history. Abraham had two sons, but only one legitimate one. Only one real one. The real son that God said, thine only son, was Isaac. That was the promised son. And Isaac had Jacob and Esau. You know that story. And Jacob had the 12 sons, which were the patriarchs or male heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. And all they put all their trust in Abraham. They pulled Father Abraham. Abraham is it. Father Abraham. They even called heaven Abraham's bosom. That's how high regard they held Abraham. And I want you to realize that Abraham, that you don't have to be a Jew to have Abraham as your father. If you exercise faith that you possess, and that faith is a righteous faith, and that faith is directed and has Jesus Christ as the right object, then I'm telling you that you're a son of Abraham. It said you were. He said he's the father of all them who have this kind of faith and who exercise this kind of faith. And if he's your father, then he's giving you a great example, and you follow that, and when you follow that, this righteousness will be imputed unto you also. God will count you righteous. He won't declare you righteous, or make you righteous by that, but it will be consistent with itself. Does God give us grace for us to stomp it in the ground? Does He give us mercy so that we can be mean to other people? Does He give peace to us so that we can torment other people? No. He doesn't do that because He wants us to be consistent with what He gave us. If He gives us faith, He wants us to exercise it and wants us to be faithful. If He gives us grace, He wants us to be gracious. If He gives us mercy, He wants us to be merciful. If He's given us meekness, He wants us to be meek. He wants us to exhibit all of His characteristics because they're all consistent with one another. And when He gives you faith and you don't act faithful, that's not consistent with what He gave you. When He gives you mercy and you go around exacting punishment on people, even though they might deserve it, it's not consistent with what He gave you. If He's gracious to you and you don't give people what they don't deserve, that takes it a step farther than giving people what they do deserve. That's not grace. Do you give people what they don't deserve? Do you go above and beyond what people deserve? God did. He gave us that which we didn't deserve. That's gracious. Do you do that? Do you exhibit that in your life? I hope so. All this that we're talking about today is talking about Abraham's exercising his faith. Not in order to be righteous, but because he was. And God laid it to his account. And it justified him as being righteous before men according to the flesh. Now, that same righteousness will be imputed or counted or reckoned to us when we exhibit our faith. It'll declare us righteous in our own conscience and according to the flesh. But we can't trust in our faith to make us righteous. God had to do that. This is such a big subject. And he deals with another part of this faith over in Galatians. But this is just one of the 30 places. Yeah, he calls it mutual faith in another place. I don't know which one we're going to get to next week. But I tell you what, the righteousness of faith is having your faith directed, not just directed, but shooting forth from the right object and having the right mindset and the right thing that you trust in. And that's God. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you can do that is by the Holy Spirit. May God bless you is my prayer. Faith is such an enormous subject. I could preach every waking moment for the rest of my life if I lived to be 1,000 years old. And I could never get all of it taught or preached. I'm not going to preach that long to you. But y'all study about faith. See if you can find the 30 places where it talks about of faith, a door of faith, mutual faith. See if you can find the 30. See if you can find more than mine, because I'm sure that there are more. May God help us to exercise our faith and to be faithful. To be a blessing to someone this week. To exhibit our Heavenly Father's characteristics. Because you know it praises Him and it's good for us. Girls, our church are open for reception of membership. Any have that desire?